Okay, so I think we'll begin. We'll try to start the new Gemara tonight also, but let's just finish up a few loose ends, or just do a little bit of summation, I guess. So last week we did the Gemara here on Hayom Beis, which... even better. Okay, terrific, thanks. So last week we did the sugya on Hayom Beis. We'll just run through it again very quickly, where the Gemara says, Gufa Amar Shmuel. This is towards the bottom on Hayom Beis. Right, Gufa Amar Shmuel. Shnaim Shadanu Dineim Din El Shinikru Bezdin. That two who judge are considered to be a Bezdin, albeit a Bezdin Chatzuf. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Nachman V'Kamar Lahashmaitza. When Rav Nachman repeated this ruling, so the reaction that he got was that Esvei Rava L'Rav Nachman. Rava turned to him and questioned this psak. Why? Because he quoted the Mishnah later on Chaf Tesom Aleph, which says that Afilu Shnayim Mezakin or Shnayim Mechaibim, even if you have two out of a three-man court, in other words, it's going to be a majority decision. And Echad Omer Eini Yodea, but if the other one, instead of either, you know, agreeing or dissenting, says Eini Yodea, so the rule is you'll see for Dayan, you add Dayan. And Isa, if it was really true that Shnayim Shadanu, if it was really true that Shnayim Shadanu Dineim Din, he asked, so then you have exactly that situation, because you have two, one of them dropped out, let's assume for the moment, and therefore what's left is two, but two is a fine and good, or at least an adequate, Bezdin. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam Demi Kara Daita Ditlasa Yasivi. That this case is different because the case of Shmuel is when you begin with two, and the question is, can you have a two-man Bezdin? The question here is, when you begin with three, and then you're reduced to two, is that also okay? And then we discussed last week what would happen if you began with five, right, and you were reduced to three, or four and three. Would that make a difference, or is it only the discrepancy between three and two? Because two maybe isn't the full bezin anyway, maybe it's more like a hora than it is a bezin. So that's the discussion in the Gemara. Anyways, the basic assumption of the Gemara, which is, of course, Eni Odeo Sifa Dayanim, that comes from the Mishnah on Chaf Tesom and Aleph. And the question is, why should that even be true, as we discussed? Because since that isn't the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is, if you have three, and one says Eni Odeya, so then you have two, so what's the problem? Go ahead with two. But the truth is, and the Gemara answered that question. But the truth is, it's a much bigger problem, and that is, forget about Shmuel for the moment. Let's assume that you need three Dayanim. But if you assume that you need three Dayanim in order to produce two, right, then either way you have the two. So what does that have to do with Shmuel? On the other hand, if you go in the other direction, if you were to say that any, how do you know that any Odeya, right, is not a proper Dayan? So Rashi, on the spot, says that Yosifa Dayanim, Dahavale Kaman Delohabe, because this Dayan who says any Odeya is as if he doesn't participate, it's like he's not non-existent in this framework. So the Gemara says Vishtak, and the Rashi says Vishtak. Ach, the treha v'dar two, right? Va'anan be'inan meikar etlasa, di gamar nami dina betray to have a ruba shaper dami. We need three so we can have a majority of two. And if we have one who says any odeya, then we don't have initially three. I think I mentioned last week that the Yad Ramah says this even more explicitly. Basically, tries to suggest that the problem isn't right now, because maybe that would be okay to have two, but the problem is that you didn't initially have it. In retrospect, if he's not participating by making a decision, so what's lacking is that initially it's considered like there were not three but two. And since they wanted three and they only have two, so it's not just in the Gemar Din, it's even in the Maso Matan, in the Tchilas Adin. So that is going to be the problem. That's what Rashi says. The difficulty with this is, where does Rashi get it from, and is it true? So what we noted is that the Gemara on Yud Zayin, Omer Aleph, is the basis for this. There, the Gemara says, that the Gemara is discussing about why, how do you know that you need 23 for a Sanhedrin Ketana for Dinei Nefashos? And the Gemara says that, the Mishnah rather says, it says, V'shaftu Eda V'tzilo Eda, so that's V'shaftu Eda, 10. V'tzilo Eda is 10. And then you need a, there are certain circumstances where, you know, you'll need at least a two-man majority if you convict in Dinei Nefashos. To exonerate, you can do it with a one-man majority. To convict, you need three. I'm sorry, you need two. In order to have two, you really need three. So that's where you get the number 23. So the Gemara says, Sof, Leroy, Pishnaim, Lamish, Kachasla. It's strange to say that you can convict with a two-man majority if you can never, ever have it. But thus to say, you can convict with a three-man majority. Because the only time that you have that kind of majority beyond one is going to be with three, since it's an odd number, Bezdin. So the Gemara says, nope, we have it. The situation of the question, Iyachod Asar Mizakin, Ushnem Asar Mechaibin, Akati Chadu, if it's 12-11 to acquit, that's fine, but that's a one-man majority. Iyasar Mizakin, Ushlosh Asar Mechaibin, if it's 13-10 in order to be Mechaib, that's three, that's not two. So the Gemara says, Omer Bavo, Yatamotse, Lebosifin, Vedivra Akol, Ubison Hedrin Gedolav, Alibidabudodomar Shivim. You can have two scenarios. Well, second one, which is not us right now, is if you have a 70-man bezin according to Rabbi Yehuda, because that's an even number, and therefore you can have a two-man majority lechova. Or it can be in a case where one of the dayanim says any odeya, and we are mosif aleim dayanim, so that you end up again with an even number. And when you have an even number, you can always have a two-man majority, and therefore a two-man majority even lechi. So the Gemara says, "Omer Bavo b'Mosif and Osim Bezim Shakol lechatchila." Apparently, when you're Mosif Dayanim, you can even lechatchila create an even numbered Bezim. So the Gemara says, "Pshita." I mean, what are you telling us? Right? We can all count, and you know we already know that because you told us Mosif and Aleim Dayanim, and there were 23. So now there are 24. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ud seima haydukam eni odeya kiman de isadami." I might have thought that the eni odeya isn't excluded. Maybe he's part of the minyan of dayanim. So you'd have to have two more to bulk up, you know, this apparatus. So the 23 becomes 25, and if you have 25, then you still don't have an even number, and you still don't have a two-man majority, right? Moreover, v'yamar milsa shamina lei. And therefore, if he would say something, meaning if the Eni Odeya had something to say, we would be listening to him. Meaning he's part of the process. He continues to be part of the process. Kamash Malan, the Haidu Kamer Eni Odeya, Keman Delesa Dami, the one who says Eni Odeya is not counted, right? He's non-existent. The Yomer Taima Lo Shaminale. Therefore, if he has something to contribute, we ignore him because he's no longer part of the process. That's the Gemara. That's the source of Rashi. So what we were trying to show last week was, great, that's the source of Rashi. We still need to understand, even according to this, why it is that you don't just go according to the majority that you have, right? And just ignore the Eni Odeya or pretend that the, or project the Eni Odeya as a dissenting vote. So if you take the view of Rashi and the Adrama, who say that the problem isn't just in the Gemar Din, the problem is in the earlier stages of Din, that answers that particular question. In other words, in Ochanami, we go by majority rule when it comes to the decision, but we need all the Dayanim to be present at earlier phases of the Din in order to have the critical mass minimum for a court. Right? So if we say now that at the time of the Maso Matan, or even earlier, Igloi Milsa L'Mafreya, that the Eni Odeya Dayan is Kalesa. So it turns out there weren't, in Nefashos, there weren't 23. Or in Momenus, there weren't three. Had there been three or 23, then in Ochanami, maybe it would have been sufficient to say that the majority is sufficient, you know, and lo gara, it's not worse than a dissenting vote in the case of Eni Odeya. If you take the other view, the Rab Chaim type view, which is that the Bezdin isn't made up of majority of individuals, but it is a unit, even at the Gemar Din. In other words, the Gemar Din isn't made up of two, right, out of three who initially judge the case. It's made up of three, even in the phase of the Gemar Din. It doesn't look that way. It looks like there's a majority and a minority, and somebody's being outvoted and ignored and rejected, right? The answer is it may look that way, but legally, conceptually, formally, it isn't that way. Really, all three were there at stage one, at stage two, and all three are there at stage three. And even after stage three, all three stand behind the consensus psak of the Beis Din. Now, if that's true, then we can understand that if Eini Yodea is kiman hilesa, then at the voting you don't have the input of three judges. Right? So if you take the unit view and the need for three dayanim, even in the Gemar Din, even in the Psak, even in the Hakra, then that would be an easier way to explain why Eini Yodea is worse than a dissenting vote, because a dissenting vote is a vote. And therefore you have three voters, you have three dayanim. And Eini Yodea, according to this view of Eini Yodea Kiman Delesa, is not a vote at all. So that's the first part of what we discussed. Then from there we analyzed the position of the Rambam. Because the Rambam speaks about Eini Yodea, Dayan Shomer Eini Yodea twice. Once in Perek Ches, Hilchos Sanhedrin, and the other in Perek Tes, Hilchos Sanhedrin. So in Perek Ches of Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam says in Halacha Beis, page 3? Yeah. So this very long Rambam. The Rambam says, Bezer Shal Gimel, starting from 27, Bezer Shal Shlosha, Shenech Klu Shnayim, Omrim Zakai, Echad Omer Chayiv, Reza Zakai. Shnayim Omrim Chayiv, Echad Omer Zakai, Reza Chayiv. Echad Omer Zakai, Echad Omer Chayiv, Echad Omer Neodea. You have 1, 1, 1, right? Osha Omer Shnayim Zakai, Yochayiv, Shlisha Omer Neodea, Yosifu Hadayonim Shnayim. So even if it's 2, 0, 1, in either direction, what we do is we add 2. And then Ram says, Nimsu, Chamisha, Nosim, and Nosim, Bedavar. So there are 5 Dayanim. And then the Ram goes on. So the Raibid says, if you look at the Raibid here, Omar Abram, 3 lines, 37. Omar Abram, Ani Roa, Begamar, Shoso, Shomar, Eni Odea, Enam, and Aminyan. He Omar Taima, Lo Shamin, Amai. Nimsa, Lachar, Shosifu, Enan, Ella, Arba'a. So the Raibid says, the Rambam can't count. Because the Gemara says that Eini Yodea Shomer Eini Yodea is Kilesa, he doesn't count. And therefore, if you have 3, right, and you do -1, that gets you to 2, and you add 2 more, so you have 4, not 5. That's the Raibid's Ha'ara, and it seems like the Raibid is correct, because that's exactly what the Gemara said on Yod Zayin, Amud Aleph. So, the question is, how does the Rambam ignore an explicit Gemara? But if you look at the Rambam in Perek Tes, Halacha Beis, talks about the same issue, but in the context of Dina Nefashos. So things get more complicated, and they also get more simplified at the same time, and in both directions. So the Rambam says, you're on page 4. So
what does Raya do with the Beis and Shokel?
What is that?
What does he do with the problem of Beis and Shokel?
What do you mean a problem of Bezmer? The Gemara said that that's okay.
And therefore?
Why is that the Raibid's problem? The Gemara said on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph that when you do Mosif and Adayanim, so then Lechatchila, in that case, you're allowed to have a Bezmer Shako. That's what the Gemara says.
I know, but why?
But why is that the Raibid's problem?
Why? Why do they throw out Bezmer Shako?
Because the point is you're not supposed to start off with a Bezin Shokel, because you want to build in. You want to build in symbolically and also pragmatically, right, the idea of Hachra and so on. But this is not, you did start with a Bezin Nota, right? And because of Eini Yodea, it wasn't foolproof. So this is the best method from there to balance out. You know, the Eini Yodea, in a way, is somebody who, you know, you don't want to replace him with one person because, in a way, you know, he himself was an advocate of both sides, or at least he wasn't, you know, tipping the balance. So the best way, apparently, is to add two. We'll see in a moment about the two, at least in the Fashos. And there, the Gemara says that under those conditions, since it's a hemsheikh, didn't start with an odd number, that's okay. But either way, my point I'm just trying to make is that it's not the Ravid's problem. That's the Gemara that says that explicitly. I'm trying to give you a little bit of an explanation why it's...
It wouldn't make more sense to be Mosif 1.
Well, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. That by being Mosif 1, you know, you're replacing this one guy, and you want to replace him in a balanced way. But when you replace him with one person, it's hit or miss. He's going to go on one side, he's going to go on the other. At least here you have, in a way, this is, I think, the Meiri makes, or either the Meiri or the Chiddush Aron, I forget, that gives this kind of an explanation. Meaning, in a way, the Eini Yodea is somebody who, even as we're rejecting him, represents, you know, a balance, right? He's kind of, you know, advocating or non-advocating, and therefore there's a certain neutrality on both sides. When you add two Dayanim replace an Eini Yodea. Right? Because it has the potential, at least numerically, in terms of configuration, in other words, of keeping that balance.
You don't want a balance. You want either...
Right. So that's why it's going to be more compelling. We'll get to this in a second. This is part of the bigger question of Eini Yodea. But that's, as I said, that's what the Gemara says. Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
At what point do you replace...
I think at the vote. When they vote, and he votes, Eini Yodea, so then we add two. But we don't, and then they have to have another Masa Matan. But it's considered to be...
testimony all over again.
Probably. Again, it doesn't happen so often. I'm guessing that you have to hear the test, because two new Dayanim have to hear the testimony. Yeah. So, but it's still considered to be a continuation of the previous case, in terms of, for example, if you started a Din Torah with five Dayanim, and one of them said, Eini Yodea, according to many Rishonim, we would be Mosif Dayanim. However, as the Rambam notes, if you started in Torah with three, right, and then you're Mosif Dayanim and you end up with five, and somebody says Eini Yodea, as long as you have at least three Machriim, you'll go forward.
Right.
What that indicates is, and this is a debate, but at least according to the Rambam, what it indicates is that even though we're hearing the testimony again, we're having another Maso Matan, this is considered to be a continuation and an adjustment, a tweaking of the previous Bezdin, legally, formally, rather than we're scrapping everything and we're starting all over again. Because otherwise the rules would be different. So having said that, but of course they have to hear the testimony. Now it's an interesting question in a different way, because I don't remember if we discussed this earlier in the year or not, but there is an issue whether you can ever have a Kabbalah Seidus, in other words, that the Edim can be interrogated by a smaller group and not by the totality of the group. Now, where this comes up is in the following, again, on Yud Zayin Aleph it comes up, and the Chiddush Aron talks about it there. The Ramban in his Perush Al HaTorah speaks about it. It's a famous exchange with Rav Sajagon. The Torah says, Al Pi Shnayim O Shlosha Edim, right? So Al Pi Shnayim O Shlosha. So the Rav Sajagon, quoted by the Ramban Al HaTorah, says what it means is that if you have a Dinei Nefashos case, right? So the two Edim are going to be heard by three Dayanim, and then that's going to be reported to the bigger group of 23. And that's what Rav Sajagon says. And the Ramban strongly, strongly disagrees. The Ramban says, if there's a Bezin of 23, then the 23 have to hear the Kabbalah say this. It happened in the other direction too. Let's say you have a case where you have one Dayan, like a Yachid Mumcha L'Rabim, who can be done Yechidi. There's a question in the opposite direction. Can he also be Makabalatus by himself, or does he need to have two other Dayanim with him for the Kabbalah Seidus? In other words, is Kabbalah Seidus held to the same standards as the Maso Matan and the Psak Din, or not? That's the question, in either direction. And then there's a whole discussion, you know, whether or not, because there's a debate about this, Tosis and Tosfos elsewhere discusses this, and the Rambam and the Mechas Chinuch. Like, let's say you have a bezin of 23. Let's say you have a case, ir anidachas or something like that. So it starts off as an avodah zara case in a lesser bezin than a 23 man bezin. That'll say it gets switched to the bezin hagadol, of 71. So again, they already heard the Kabbalah say this. So does the 71 have to hear the Kabbalah say this? So it is an interesting question whether or not you can ever, receive information about the Eidos that you yourself didn't hear. But my suspicion is that in this particular case, there has to be a Kabbalah says. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's likely. Anyways, yeah. So this is one perspective. What we're saying is that the Rambam seems to ignore the Gemara Niyot Zayin Amud Aleph and say that Eni Yodea is not Kalesa but Kisa. And therefore, when you add two to the three, you have five. The problem is, if you look at the Rambam in Perek Tes, Halacha Beis, which is, again, on the last page, on starting from 14, Sanhedrin Katana Shenachtu V'din in Nefashos, Shnayim Asar Omrim Zakai, Echad Asar Omrim Chayiv, or is Zakai. Shnayim Asar Omrim Chayiv, Achad Asar Omrim Zakai, Osh Omrim Achad Asar Zakai, Chad Asar Chayiv, Echad Omar Eini Odeya, you have 11, 11, and 1, Afilu Esrim U'Shnayim Zakin of 22, Omechayivim, 22, 0, 1, which is rather amazing, right? Yosifu Shnaim, you had 2. Zesh, Omar, Eni Odeya, Hareu Kimi, She'eno, She'eno Mechazer, Melamed Chov, Venimsu Achar Tosepes, Esrim Biarba, Chutz Mizeh, Hamistapik. So here the Rambam says exactly what the Gemara says on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Namely, that when it comes to Dine Defashos, if you have one Dayan saying Eni Odeya, he is Kalesa. You have to add 2, which means 23 minus 1 plus 2, 24. So the Rambam knew how to add when it came to Dine Nefashos, but he didn't know how to add when it came to Dine Maminus. Right? Obviously, I'm just being facetious. So the Ravid, when he said against the Rambam, I don't understand what you're talking about. There's an explicit Gemara that says that Eni Odeya's command Elisa was referring to the Gemara in Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So all the Nosa Kalim pretty much picked up on this right away, obviously. And they said, no, it's not fair. I mean, the Gemara on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph is speaking about Dine Nefashos. When the Rambam speaks about Dine Nefashos, he also says Eni Odeya's command Elisa. But the Rambam in Perek Ches, as opposed to Perek Tes, is speaking about Dine Maminus. So obviously the Rambam distinguishes between Dine Maminus and Dine Nefashos. He thinks that one Eni Odeya's killing Isa, Maminus, and Eni Odeya is Kalesa in Dine Nefashos. That's a very nuanced position. There's only one Gemara that says explicitly, one way or another, whether Eni Odeya is Ki Isa or Kalesa, and that's Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. It happens to be talking about Dine Nefashos. And who would have dreamed that, that logic or some other source should dictate a distinction where we don't find it, right? So the Rambam's position is not problematic in terms of the evidence, but obviously it had to be informed by his global understanding of other things here, otherwise he just wouldn't have come up with it. Meaning the Ravid is both right and wrong at the same time. The Ravid is saying, all the evidence that we have is that Eni Odeya is Kaman D'Leis, so there's only one Gemara and that's what it says, right? Even though, obviously, the Rambam agrees with that, and nonetheless thinks that there are compelling reasons to be Mechalik. So the question is, why this chiluk? There are really two questions. Number one, why the chiluk, and what is its significance? And secondly, revisiting what we asked before, for the Rambam is much more acute, by which I mean, we asked before, even if Eni Odeya is Kaman D'Leisa, but it shouldn't be worse than if you voted 2 against 1, right? So that's what we said. Well, if you vote 2 against 1, you have 3 dayanim, right? But here, you only have 2 dayanim. Okay, fine. But for the Rambam, in Dine Maminus, those answers are no longer effective. Because according to the Rambam, the dayan says, Eni Odeya Dine Maminus is Keman, the Isa, he does count. So if he's part of the minyan, you have 3 dayanim, and majority rules. So then it's a much bigger question, why this exception? Right? So there are two questions in the Rambam. Number one, how to understand, how to assimilate what he says, and maybe even to guess where maybe he got it from, that there's a difference between Mamonos and Nefashos on this fundamental issue. And number two is, according to the Rambam's view that any Odei and Dini Mamonos is Kamanda Isa, why is it Gara, why is it worse than saying, I disagree? Any Odeya is neutral, at least. Neutrality should be less objectionable or less of a problem to override or overcome than a vote against. So those are the two questions. So let's just take the second question first this time, and then we'll go back to the first one. So what we were trying to explain in the end of last week's shiur was that maybe, according to the Rambam, in Dinei Mamonos, answering this question, maybe there is a way to explain that Eini Yodea, right, is more of a challenge, or put it this way, that Eini Yodea doesn't allow for majority rule in the same way that overriding a negative vote does. And that was based on the Tshuvas HaRashba, where the Rashba says that if you have... here, Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Dalet on page number 3, starting from line 9, Sha'alta, Ruven and Shimon Shoimis Amtsin Bedin. Ruven and Shimon are struggling. I can almost see them struggling in the language, right? They're fighting it out. They're battling in court, basically. Ubeiru Lahem Yud Anashim Liros Bedina, or Bedina. Let's say they're Borer. They decided on their own that the way they're going to set up a Bezin, there's this classical way for a Bezin to be configured, and the Bali Dinim and Dinim Amunis have the right, if they want, if they agree, to reconfigure a little bit. Right? There's a certain flexibility in Dinim Amunis. So let's say they pick 10 judges, 10 men, to determine this question. Velasis Beneim, Hein Dinim Pshar. Whether they want to do a Din or a Pshar, either way. And they took an oath that they will commit themselves to the conclusion of these 10. And they said, if these 10 cannot come to a single consensus view, then we'll go by the majority of the 10. So what happened was, one of them disappeared or ran away. He decided to opt out. And he's keeping his opinion to himself. Hodiani, the Rashba was asked, please inform me. Are they now still committed to what the 9 or the majority of 9 say when the 10th isn't participating? Or do we say, since they agreed to 10 and 1 is missing, if he had been here, maybe his arguments would have tipped the balance and convinced everybody. Wow. So that's what the Rashba concludes. Tshuva davar baru huzeh. It's clear.
What is Ruvain objecting? Before the Gemardin or into the Gemardin?
After the Gemardin. I'm guessing. I mean.
So 10 issued a Gemardin and then he said...
No, 9.
Nine issued a Gemardin.
He's saying, sorry, I'm not bound by that because I only agreed to 9.
So why didn't he?
And they said to him, well, the 9, you know, or the 8 of the 9 would have won the day if the 10th had been there anyway.
Yeah, but why didn't he object before the Gemara
did? No, because he didn't go against him yet.
Didn't go.
Right? So, but that's just the Lemaisa, but that doesn't change the picture. Right. So listen. So the Rashba says, Tshuva davar baru huzeh, it's clear. Shiloh haya asar nevarim ledin, yustalik achon esparda. If there are 10 and only 9 show up, then the whole thing comes apart. Right? Moreover, Afilu Amar Eni Otsay, he is there, And he just says Eini Yodeh. That's what's relevant to us. Einin Bicholim Ladun V'Ligmor Adin Al Pi HaTisha HaDosarim. You can't say, well, he said Eini Yodeh, so, you know, but there are 10, and we'll decide on the basis of the 9. Even though, again, if he had said no, and the 9 said yes, we'd go by the 9. She'ein Ochen HaKarov Eleke Sheravu HaMazakin Al HaMechayvin, or HaMechayvin Al HaMazakin. We only apply Rov when there are two sides being expressed, right? Zakai and Chayiv. Mitoch Maso Maton Shel Kulan, as a result of the participation of the full body. Aval Kishamiut Einenu, when the minority doesn't participate, which has two meanings. Meaning he's missing in action, he left, he's not there physically, he's not at all involved. Or he says Eini Yodeh, which the Rashba equated with this low, then this rule doesn't apply. She'ilo hayasham oso ha'echad shema hayamaratam lehefech kol mashe skimu harov v'yodu harov bekach v'chein kashe yachin omer ni yodea utnan afilu beitz mezakan v'chai b'nechon omer ni yodea yosif adayonim v'chein im nistalik echad einin v'cholim lachtoch hasheni hashnayim rather es hadin. So basically what the Rashba is saying is that the reason that Eini Yodeh yosif adayonim is because overriding, or put it this way, his lack of engagement, what Rashba really says is, his lack of engagement may, for all we know, be the tipping point. It may be responsible for an inaccurate majority rule. Thus, the majority would have ruled otherwise if he had taken a strong stand. Now, he says this in the negative, in a way, the Rashba, and what I want to do is suggest it more in the positive. And that is, but let me give a little background, especially in light of an earlier conversation. Let's remember that the application of majority rule to Dine Mominus in a court setting is not such a simple matter. Right? About a month ago, when we began this whole topic, right, we began with the discussion of Tosos on Gimel Amud Beis and the parallel Tosos Bava Kamma on Daf Chav Zayin, right? Both of which asked, why do we allow majority to rule in Dine Mamonis to begin with? We have a rule, Ein Hochem Mamon Acharov, which is a Motzi Mechavero Olav Haraya, right? So basically, that question was basically resting on the assumption that probability, right, should all things being equal, be inadequate when it comes to changing muchzakos, when it comes to changing the status quo in monetary matters. Now the question at the end of the day is, okay, but we lahalacha say that majority does rule, right? And there are various answers that the Bali Tosas give to that question, right? Now, whether it's Reb Chaim's answer about a total consensus, right, or other answers, right, in the end of the day, we need something stronger than the regular majority rules, according to many Rishonim, because otherwise it shouldn't be adequate to override the Muchzakos of Motzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. So we need a strong rove, strong quantitatively in terms of being compelling, strong meaning that it isn't really a rove, it's a rubo kekulo, and therefore it's a kulo, right? If you remember, I'm just going to use this in a second anyway, so I'm going to plant this right now, or replant it. If you remember the very fascinating interpretation of the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim says, to explain Tosis and Bava Kamma, Tosis and Bava Kamma says, Dayanim are different, right? The miut is keman the lesa. It's like the minority doesn't exist in Dine Mamonis in majority rules. The question is, what does it mean? So Reb Chaim's explanation is, because although the birur hadavar, the academic part, is majority and minority, right? But legally, the way a bezin works is that it's the consensus of the totality, and therefore it isn't two against one. When it's two against one, it ends up being three. You know, the emergence of the consensus from the three stands behind the p'sak din, and therefore there's no minority. That's Reb Chaim. The Tumim had a slightly different pshat, if you remember. And that was as follows. The Tumim said, when do we apply the rule of of Ein Hokhan Bama Menachar Rov, and when do we apply Hokhan Bama Menachar Rov? The answer is, it depends whether the minority view can coexist or is mutually exclusive with the majority. So typically, when it comes to, when the Gemara says Ein Hokhan Bama Menachar Rov, there's a majority and there's an acknowledged minority. Most women give birth after 9 months, but some don't. Some give birth after 7 months. Most people confuse or can't be relied upon, you know, to know exactly when the Ibur Hashana or the Ibur HaChodesh is, and they might make a mistake in the calendar day of the month. And there's a minority of people who are very meticulous, so they always know what time of the month it is. That majority and that minority, right, some people sell their cows, their oxen, for work in the field, or buy them for work in the field, and others buy them for a very festive, celebratory dinner, right? There are both populations in the world. There are both populations of women in the world. There are both populations of men in terms of their precision of the calendar of the world. There's a majority and an acknowledged minority in all of these cases. However, says the Tumim, when it comes to din, right, either you're chayiv or you're zakai. So there's no minority if there's a majority. You have to choose. It's a struggle, right, to the death, basically. These are mutually exclusive principles. And therefore, that's his pshat in Tosas. When Tosas said that when it comes to dayanim, the minority doesn't exist, what he meant was it's the kind of majority-minority struggle, right, in which you have to, what is it, a zero-sum game, they call it? I mean, you have to decide. If you're going to trust the majority, you have to reject the minority. They don't exist as two populations in the same universe. I'm not talking about Elu Ve'elu Jivrei Elokim Chayim, which is a different kind of an issue for the moment. I mean in Psak Halacha, you know, in Mishpat Echad, Yieh Lachem. Oh. So now, the question is, to plug in Eini Yodea into this, all I'm trying to add to our previous discussions is I just want to remind everybody that majority rule for Dayanim, when there is a minority, is not such a simple matter. Right? The Bali Tosfos have to struggle with it and justify it. And you might need a very compelling majority, either in the numbers or formally, right, and conceptually, namely there is no minority, or that there is no majority, it's really a totality, in order to justify this. Fine. Having reminded everybody of that, now let's look at Eini Yodea and see whether or not it's better or worse than a vote against. Right? The answer is it's both better and worse. In some respects, it's better. In other respects, it's worse. You don't have a definitive opposition. Right? That was the basis of the question. So it seems like, you know, the guy says Eini Yodea, there's a 50, look at it as a 50-50 that it's a 3-0, and 50-50 that it's 2-1. Either way, it's not worse than 2-1, and it could be better than 2-1. We all understand that, shikul, that way of looking at it. But in light of the Rajba, and expanding the Rajba a little bit more, what one could say is, you know what, we're not comfortable with the 75% or 67% majority, really. The only reason we're doing it is because, you know, it's, in addition to the numbers, there's something else. And that is the minority. Let's take the first shot, the Rajba type shot, but expanding it. The minority view is out there, and the majority have heard it, and they've rejected it. Right? In other words, if you put them in a room, let's say you put these people in isolated rooms, like, you know, when they were translating, you know, the Tanakh, you know. So they put everybody in a different room. They didn't want interaction. So if I just took a poll, right? You know, there are three dayanim. You know, they've seen and heard the evidence. Maybe they didn't, let's make it even better. They didn't even discuss it together. Right? You have two came out with Zakai and one came out with Chayim. That's one scenario. The other scenario is you have three dayanim, right? We lock them in a room. I'm not saying we throw away the key, but, you know, we encourage them to be engaging in a very lively you know, maso matan. And even when it comes to the voting, you know, we want them in the same room. And we want them to argue. And we want them to try to find a consensus. That's a very different majority. Because if you're, if we're all honest men searching for truth and open to being influenced by our, you know, colleagues, so then the majority is a stronger majority because it's overridden, right, the minority view. So maybe we only say Holchino Acharov, even though it's Motzim Chavela Varaya, when you have that kind of stronger majority. But if you have a weak majority in that, it, you know, it doesn't, you know, if the majority was a totality, then itself strengthens it. Even then, by the way, in Dine Nefashos, it's too pat. Right? If the rule is if the, you know, total Beis Din says, in a Dine Nefashos case, Chayiv, we don't proceed with that. We don't trust it. Somebody, nobody can be Mahapech Biskus and override the guy who's being Mahapech Biskus. But in Dine Mamanis, you know, there's a Reuven and a Shimon. It's not, you know, the stakes are different. You know, there's not a defendant. There are two protagonists, if you will. There is a Tovein and Nitva to some extent, but not in all respects. That's an issue in Dine Mamanis in general. But the point is that in Dine Mamanis, if you have three, you know, that, you know, it's more compelling, even though you didn't have to override them. But if you already have three judges and not all three agree, apparently there's some room for suffolk, right? And you're also not getting then the benefit of somebody playing such devil's advocate, you know, that, you know, you can't sleep at night unless you're pretty sure of your psak, right? Because so you have the worst of both worlds, right? You don't have three, and you haven't overridden some passionate opponent, right? That kind of majority cannot overcome the din of Motzim Mechavar, Levaraya. Any Odeas Garua may an opposition. That's one model. And that's the model that I suggested that we look at in explaining Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Again, the Gemara says in Eruvin that why do we, you know, that they had these arguments. One of them raged for 3 years, and we say, but we also say, Halacha Kebeis Hillel. And then the Gemara says, why Halacha Kebeis Hillel? After all, you know, it's Elevela Divra Lekim Chayim. Like, well, why did they win the argument? So the Gemara says, because they were a Bali Midos. They had amazing etiquette. They always quoted Beis Shammai. They quoted Beis Shammai first. So as I explained last week, that's really strange, because etiquette is etiquette, and din or finding the right din is something which is a merit based, you know, not etiquette based. You don't get rewarded for your etiquette, you know, with a psak halacha in your favor. That would be very disturbing. So the suggestion is, and the Maharal says it in the negative, I found afterwards, and that is that Beis Hillel stuck to their guns. They felt that they were right in the psak. They didn't concede to Beis Shammai. But they, through their etiquette, right, that reflected their respect and their openness to that other view. Meaning, obviously, they weren't so entrenched. Their ego, you know, had not closed them to the possibility, right, of accepting Beis Shammai's view if it had been sufficiently suasive. How do we know that? Because they were very open-minded. They quoted Beis Shammai, they quoted Beis Shammai first, and yet their passion, their conviction, you know, in terms of a decisive determination at the end of the day, was to cling to their psak. Didn't that make it much more compelling than maybe a Beis Shammai, who were just a little bit less open-minded, a little bit more quarrelsome, maybe a little more invested in their own view, or at least less open, right, to testing every aspect of an alternative view? So basically, what Beis Hillel was lacking, what the Gemara says in Charifus in some cases, they made up for by you know, leaving no stone unturned to pursue the truth. And that seems to be the idea here. But I think that there's another explanation, a parallel explanation too, and that is based on the Tumim. We mentioned that according to the Tumim's Pshat and Tosis, why do we follow the majority rule? In this case, when we don't in other cases, the answer is because it's a mutually exclusive majority-minority. And therefore, if you follow the majority, if you believe in the majority, all the minority has to be completely disregarded or discounted. Fascinating, right? Oh, so now, what about Eni Odeya? That's an interesting question. Is Eni Odeya a mutually exclusive perspective vis-a-vis Zakai or Chayev? Right? Now, if I say Zakai, and two say Zakai, and one says Chayev, or vice versa, so then we understand why it's mutually exclusive, and there's no miut, and therefore we'll go with the Rov. Right? But if there's not a sufficient clash, then maybe there's no Rov, because there's a miut. Mashalamad Avardom, I'll just give you from another world, a symbolic analogy. Right? When it comes to a different kind of Rov, right? The rule is that Min Sheino Bimino, you know, its laws of Bitla are different than Min Bimino. Why? Because when you have a clash, when two things clash, right, we relate to the, you know, that interaction or that antagonism, you know, differently than if they don't clash. You know, the rule, either Min Bimino is Batal Barov and Min Sheino Bimino is Bishishin, or, according to Rabbi Yehuda's view, Min Sheino Bimino is Batal at least Bishishin, and Min Bimino is Vimashahu, it's not Batal at all. So some people explain, why is Min Bimino not Batal? Because it's Min Bimino. There's not enough of a clash. You know, again, when you have, it's almost like the Tumim's idea. When you have a Min and an Eino Mino, so you have to decide which is the dominant ingredient that defines the totality. Right? But when it's Min Bimino, that's the famous view of the Ran and the Darim. Ran and the Darim said that, you know, unlike the famous Rashi, that you have a Davar Sheishlo Matirin, right? The rule is a Davar Sheishlo Matirin, Mafilu Be'elef Labata. What does that mean? If you have something which is, you know, if you wait it out, it'll become Butter, so you don't apply the rule of Bittel Barov. So, for example, if you have a Mukta, let's say, on Yontif or on Shabbos, and it mixes up with something else, and you have a Rov, Afilu Be'elef Labata, even if it's 1,000-1 odds, we don't do it. Why? Because it's a Davar Sheishlo Matirin. It's going to be mutter anyway after Shabbos or after Yontif. So Rashi explains why. Why rely on numbers when you can get it, you know, for certain because the Issa is going away anyway. Very logical, very, very understandable. That's the majority, that's the mainstream view. However, there's this very famous Ran in the Darim, very, very famous, where the Ran says, you know why? Davar Sheishlo Matirin Afilu Be'elef Labata. The reason is because it's Min Bimino. And Min Bimino is Bimashu. Even if we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, this kind of Min Bimino is Bimashu. Why is it Min Bimino? The answer is it's Heter Beheter. Since it's going to be Mutter in a couple of hours, we don't look at it as a clash between a Dvar Yisr and a Dvar Heter. We look at it as, you know, it's a Dvar Heter and a Dvar will be Heter. So that's Min Bimino. There's not enough opposition, not enough of a clash to force us into a choice. So what the Tumim may argue, I'm not saying that he does, as far as I know he doesn't talk about this part, but I think in light of the model of the Tumim, what one could say is, when you have Zakai and you have Chayev, you know, so majority rules. But when you have Zakai and Eni Odeya, even if Eni Odeya, we're talking about according to the Rambam, who says that what? That Eni Odeya is Ki'isa. But is Eni Odeya a Birya? What is it, an Androgynous? I mean, is it an opinion? Right? Or is it not an opinion, or is it a both opinion? It's certainly not as much of an Eno Bimino Zakai and Chayev are Enavimino. Are Zakai or Chayev and Eniodea Enavimino? If the majority, right, isn't compelling enough in terms of negating the minority, then majority rule doesn't work in Dine Mamanis. Right? So either of these models, there may be others, would explain why it is that even if Eniodea is, and let me say better even, and this is the view that Eniodea is Keisa. No, it's to say that Eniodea is Kelesa, you know, and therefore it's a non-view, and every view clashes with a non-view. Fine. But to say Eniodea is Keisa, and then to assess whether, like Zakai and Chayev, Zakai and Eniodea, or Chayev and Eniodea is a clash, becomes an interesting kind of a question. So that is, I think, these are some of the ways to look at why Eniodea might be inferior to an adversarial position, one which is overridden, and this case is not overridden. Now, getting back to our other point, because it's very much related, is why did the Rambam distinguish between Mamanus and Nefashos? So the Rajba and Atshuva, I think I mentioned this last time, I'm not sure.
Why did Rambam do what? Say what?
I said the Rajba and Atshuva, I'm not sure if I mentioned this last time or not, asks an interesting question, saying, I don't understand, it seems like the Rambam distinguished between Dini Mamanus and Dini Nefashos, which he did, right? Where did he get it from? Says the Rajba. After all, you know, we have lists that distinguish Mamanus and Nefashos in many halachos, right? Like we said, the two-man majority, you know, for conviction, that's a dina dine nefashos, right? And there are all sorts of differences between them. Edus miuchedes, and, you know, all sorts of, losana al riv, losana al rav, you know, when it comes to dina nefashos, there's a certain kind of advocacy. A, you're not allowed to change, at least in the maso matan, You're championing, once you're championing Luskos, you know, the change of Lechova, there are all sorts of rules. You don't start first asking the chief justice, you know, for his view because we're afraid it's going to intimidate all the junior members of the court. So it's Losan al Rib, Losan al Rab, you go the other way. What?
Alon Sadin also.
I'm sorry?
Alon Sadin.
Yeah, Alon Sadin. Numerous things. So the Rajba asks a good question. He says, according to the Rambam, Eniodea, Keisa, or Kelesa should have been on the list. Right?
Should have been what?
On the list. And it's not on the list, so obviously it's not a difference between Mamanus and Nefashos, so you should extrapolate from one to the other. That's the Rajba's question. But the answer, of course, you know, it's a very good question, and it crystallizes, you know, a certain perspective. But we know that question, you know, we've encountered that type of question in the past. We know what the answer to that question is. I mean, there are numerous types of answers to that question. One is, well, there's a list, but it's not an exhaustive list, you know. Then you can ask, you know, my shear, the ton of a shear. You know, how big is the list and how few are the exceptions, you know, that are not on the list. Okay, that's one approach. Or, a variation of that approach, it's a list, and maybe it's an exhaustive list, but of a certain type. Not of all differences, but certain types of differences. Okay, fine. Another approach, one which is a little bit more attractive, you know, is the idea of saying one of two other things, and that is, you know, the assumption that this is not on the list, you know, is challengeable in one of two ways. It really is on the list. It flows or stems from one of the things that's prominent on the list. Right? So it doesn't need to be the same, it's a variation of something that's already on the list.
Yeah, but it would have been in the opinion of the Rambam that it flows in an obvious way.
Say that again?
It would have had to be the opinion of the Rambam
that it flows
in an obvious way, and that's...
I mean, you're asking if this were true, that it was really on the list in some variation, and how the other is shown him explain.
Yes, yeah.
100%. So what we're explaining for the Rajba, obviously this is something that's a little subtle. The Rajba wouldn't have asked the question if it was so obvious, right? So what I mean to say is that the Rambam thinks that it's on the list because his understanding is that it stems from something on the list. And that's exactly the Nekudas HaMachlokas. That's where the other is shown him disagree, as we'll show in just a second. So that's one variation of this good thing to say. The other is a little more subtle and therefore less of the problem that you're raising, but similar. And that is, the list is not exhaustive, but by that we don't mean numerically or quantitatively exhaustive. What we mean is the list represents a certain pattern. There are common denominators to the list. The list highlights, right, a basic difference between Dinei Mamonos and Nefashos and illustrates it in numerous ways. But there are going to always be other examples. I'll give you a very simple example, something that we've discussed in the past. You know, the Mishnah says in Megillah, and of Zion, Ein Bein Shabbos L'Yom Tov Ale Ochol Nefesh Bilvah. The only difference in Shabbos and Yom Tov is Ochol Nefesh. So all the Rishonim ask numerous questions, right? Everybody agrees that the onesh, the punishment, you know, that you get on Shabbos is different than Yom Tov. And everybody agrees that, you know, there's no chatas on Yom Tov, and there's malchus on Yom Tov, right? And there's no malchus on Shabbos, and there is chatas on Shabbos. Right? And there are 10 other differences, you know, that aren't on that list. Chiluk malachos, and so on and so on, right? So again, you know, if you look at the answers given to this question, some people say, well, it's not an exhaustive list. You know, and some people say, oh, it's a list, but it's a list of certain types of things. It's not a list about the consequences of violating, it's a list of the things that constitute a violation. That's a different kind of a list, right? My preferred answer to those questions, in certainly to encompass some of the issues, is when the Mishnah says Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Tov Ochol Nefesh Bilvad, right? What it meant was, you really want to understand the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? It's an analyzing the Heter Ochol Nefesh. If you understand that, you'll understand numerous other differences, evident and subtle, as well. So what I'm saying is here, let me give you the two versions of it. and these are my two pshatim in the Rambam. The first one, it's already on the list, or stems from something on the list. Goes as follows. I mentioned it last time, I just trying to build it up more because we were running last time. And that is as follows. The language of the Gemara, as we already discussed on Yud Zayin and Aleph, seems to indicate that if you hold that any of Deus command to Isa, so then we're going to listen to what you have to say going forward, right? And if any of Deus command to Lesa, then we're not going to be listening to you. It sounds like whether or not we're going to, in the future, pay attention to your view, your comments on this matter, depends whether Kisa or Kelesa. In other words, it's a consequence, it's a result, right? However, if you look carefully at the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Beis, the Rambam makes it seem that this relationship is not in that direction, namely, whether it's Ki'isa or Kalesa dictates, determines whether we listen to you, but the opposite. Whether or not it's Ki'isa or Kalesa is a consequence or is a result of the fact that we can no longer listen to you, meaning, on the list, one of the halachos is, as I said before, if you advocate for the nidon in a dina nefashos case, then you're not allowed to publicly change your advocacy lechova. If you advocated lechova, you can change your advocacy lischkos. This is just a way, again, of increasing his odds of beating this death penalty. So we have all sorts of small but advantages for the defendant here, right? So basically, you're not allowed to change that public advocacy. Now, if you look at the language of the Rambam seems to be referring to that when he says, am I in the wrong place? Yeah, Perek Tes Halacha Beis. He says, "Zesh amar eni yodei harei kimi she'eino, sheharei eino chozer malamed chova." Sheharei. In the Gemara, it doesn't say sheharei. And the Gemara says, what's the language of the Gemara? Look on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, which is on page, you can, in your Gemaras are on page 2. The Gemara says, after any of that command, so ve'i amar tama lo shaminan lay. I can't know this 100%, but if you ask me, a ve'i amar and a shaharei have totally different meanings. Ve'i amar means the consequence of saying that he's ki'isa or kalesa is, are we going to regard or disregard what he says in the future in this case? Is he part of the team? He's not part of the team. That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, he's kalesa. You know why? Because he, by saying Eini Yodea, cannot switch Lechova. And if he can't switch Lechova at this new stage, then, and he hasn't taken a position, then basically he's worthless. Or sufficiently worthless. Okay? Now that's on the list of differences between Mamonos and Nefashos. So what the answer to the Rajma's question might be, right, it's implicitly on the list. Because the Rambam's saying, I don't think the E in the Gemara, or the E is a consequence, I think it's the cause. Now the other benefit that you get from here, this, and this I did explain last week, is the following, two things. Number one, it's a little bit, of course there's a huge leap here. The leap is, and that answers your question, if it's on the list, even implicitly on the list, so what does the Rajba want, and why isn't everybody jumping on the Rambam's bandwagon? Because the law is that if I am advocating l'schus, I can't change l'chova. But if I said Eini Yodea, I can't change l'chova? Meaning anything other than being initially l'chova can't change l'chova? Or just l'schus can't change l'chova? That's one aspect of it. Is Eini Yodea is really kalesa, right? Then I haven't said anything. At least if it's ki'isa, you might say, although it isn't l'schus, I've still lost my opportunity to go l'chova, right? So there's plenty of good reason why, in addition to reading the Gemara differently, there are other Rishon, the Ravid, the Rashi, the Rajba, didn't hold like the Rama. Oh. But in addition to explaining that, what I'm really trying to explain is to further strengthen something in the Rama. What we noticed last time was that the Rambam does two opposite things. On the one hand, he makes this huge difference between Dayan Shomer Eini Yodea, between Mamonos and Nefashos. So you would think that his orientation or his tendency is to think that Mamonos and Nefashos are so different. You know, and consequently, just because the Gemara in Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, which is the only definitive Gemara that says something about this topic, says Eini Yodea Kimandalesa, why would you think that that has anything to do with the Eini Mamonos? But what's fascinating is that the very same Rambam in this very same topic actually seems to be mostly, right, overlapping Mamonos and Nefashos. Because as we noted last time, the Rambam has two psakim in Perek Ches, in Dine Mamonos, that come from Dine Nefashos, because they're not explicit in Dine Mamonos. One is that in Eini Yodea you add two Dayanim, right? It says that in the Mishnah, on Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, regarding Nefashos, it doesn't say it anywhere in Mamonos, and some of the Rishonim challenge, how does the Rambam know the number? It might be relevant to your point, in theory. Second one is that the Rambam says that you go up to 71, but once, you know, if you keep adding Dayanim, it's almost never going to happen, and it doesn't make a difference either, that it's never going to happen. We're interested also in the abstract and the concept. But in theory, it can go, you know, you keep adding two, and then you have an Eini Yodea, you add two, another two, right? How far do you go with it? So the Mishnah says about Dini Nefashos 71. Dini Mamonos, the Mishnah didn't say anything. The Rambam, when he paskins in Perek Ches, says 71. Right? It's like, what's going on? How did he know those two things? Obviously, he assumed there's no difference between Mamonos and Nefashos. So the same person who's projecting, and the people are challenging him by saying, hey Rambam, how do you know about 71? How do you know the extra two? That's Nefashos. And he's the one who's making this enormous distinction when there's only one Gemara between Eini Yodea in one direction or the other. So there are two possible answers. One is it all somehow works together, which I'm going to try to suggest in a second, or that he just felt the Eniodea Kelesa Keisa is just so fundamental to Mamadis and Nefashos that even though the other things overlap, this one doesn't. So let's take one at a time. The first one is to say, the Rambam really believes, mostly, that Eniodea is commanding Isa. Intrinsically, objectively. In other words, it's an interesting open question. I'll tell you something else. This idea of Eniodea, right? I mean, you know, it's an endemic question, right? When somebody says Eniodea, how do you look at that? Right? Is that a birya b'fnei atzma? Eniodea is an opinion or a view? We talked last week about a hard Eniodea and a soft Eniodea. Like an Eniodea which is not engaged and has no opinion, right? An Eniodea who's, I can't make up my mind because I can see both sides, right? We talked about why you need to be most of Shnayim. That book's better in a hard Eniodea than in a soft Eniodea, right? What is Eniodea? Is it opinion? Is it an opinion? Or is it a non-opinion? Or is it both opinions? Right? It's hard to know. So it's an interesting thing. And what about in other areas of halacha? So there's an interesting Ran in Masechet Shavuos. Ran in Masechet Shavuos discusses what happens if an aide, right, was asked, in the context of Shavuos Eidus, not Lamed Beis, he was asked to testify in court, right? And he said, Eini Yodea, right, I don't know anything about this. I don't know. They said to him, what do you know about Eini Yodea? So in Eidus we have a principle, Kivin Shehigid, Shuvin Echozer Magid. You can't recant your testimony, right? Once you testify, that's it. So if an aide said Eini Yodea, can he then turn around and say, I remember or I know, or can he do that? Or is that Kivin Shehigid, Shuvin Echozer Magid? So the Ran has two deos, two views on that matter. I always thought that's really very interesting, right? I mean, it's parallel to this question. Here the Gemara is discussing, is Eniodea Kisa Kalesa? All the Rishonim are saying that it's Kalesa. The Rambam is distinguishing between Mamadis and Nefashos. And you have a parallel issue in Eidos, right? Now, the truth is that you could be Mechalek, in my opinion, in either direction. I mean, Eniodea comes up in other areas, too. Right. It's always an interesting question. It's the same question. There might be a different answer. For example, in Din, you might say it's more Kalesa because it's the job of a Dayan to make a decision. That's what he gets paid for. I don't mean the paying part, but, to use the Hebrew, a Dayan has to be Hechleti or Hachruati, I would think. I mean, I think that's part of what you're looking for in a judge. Right? That's sometimes the difference between a posek and a rosh hashiva. There are other differences. And I don't think that they're, better or worse. I think they're just different and they serve different functions, You want a rosh hashiva at your maso matan, but you definitely want a posek sometimes, for the psak halacha. There's a certain, it's a personality thing. It's an orientation. It's an element of training in it. Being a judge, for sure, requires that you have greater that capacity, beyond all the hitlab tuyot, all the pikpukim, all the questions, to make a clear, decision. Now, I'm not saying in some cases you're just stymied and you're not going to do it to be arbitrary, but, this a case could be made if you ask an aide something and he doesn't know, so he doesn't know. But if you ask a dayan and he says, Eniodea, and he's supposed to be able to decide. He's not doing his job. He's Kalesa. On the other hand, if you take it from the Rosh Hashiva perspective, I guess, it can go the opposite way too. If an aide comes to court and he says, Eniodea, what has he done for you? Maybe it's not his job to know, but either way, what he's done is zero. Because it's a factual question. But if somebody says Eniodea on an analytical question, especially if the Eniodea is a hard Eniodea, and especially if he contributes, to the discussion or to illuminating the topic, even though he's not going to end up helping you, he is not deciding or he can't decide. But you may, be propelled forward by his analysis. So maybe any odeya is ki'isa. Right? But it's a fascinating question. Anyways, the Rambam, I think one approach in the Rambam is, the Rambam took the, remember on Yuzayin and Aleph, the Gemara said, Ma'u, the same, the Gemara says like this, right? You have Enyodeya, Mosifan Adayanim, and then the Gemara says, an even numbered Bezdin, right? And then the Gemara says, Pshita, we can all count, thank you so much. And then the Gemara said, Ma'u, the same, Enyodeya, Kamandisa, Kamashmalan, it's Kilesa, right? So maybe, speculating a little bit, maybe the way the Rambam read the Gemara was, you know, Ma'u Desema, meaning the Muskal Rishon, and maybe the dominant objective, you know, dominant view, is that Eini Yodea is Ki'isa. Not just, oh, you know, you might have thought, but it's a total mistake. Maybe that isn't really a mistake. Maybe on a purely conceptual level, Eini Yodea is Kaman De'isa. So what's the Gemara saying? From the Rambam's point of view, remember, he didn't say Vi'im Amar, he said Shaharei Amar. But in Dine Nefashos, right, because it is Ki'isa, you've tied your hands. You can't change your mind in the advocacy. Right? So you make yourself, because you're, this is the irony, you start off with Ki'isa, because that's really what it is. And because it's Ki'isa, now it's Kalesa. Because you have voiced an opinion already, and it wasn't Lechova, so you can't turn to Lechova. And you had only one chance for Lechova. In a way, it's a little bit like, there's another element in the ageless thing too. I'm just going to throw it back in for a second. I mentioned the rule in ageless that brings you to the Eini Yodea problem is, Kivin She'igit Shiva D'Chozer Magid. Does that mean you can't change from one ageless to another? And therefore, it depends whether Eini Yodea is considered an ageless or not. Or does it mean that you have only one opportunity to testify? And if you squander that opportunity, you're not given a second one. In which case, even if Eini Yodea is Kamandalesa, you might still say, but you didn't take your opportunity. Right? Similarly here, the way the Rambam is saying it is, Eini Yodea is Kamandisa. That's what I really think. Across the board, according to this model. Uh-huh. Right? But since Eini Yodea is Kaman De'isa, and you had to be an initial advocate against, otherwise you can't do that in the future, your hands are tied. Shaharei. And if your hands are tied, you're worthless to us. And if you're worthless to us, you become a Kilesa. But in Dine Mamanis, there's no such rule. So you're the same Ki'isa that you would have been in Dine Nefashos if not for this transformation. So, of course the 71 and Mosifim Shnayim, because we don't think that there's fundamentally a difference between Eini Yodea and Mamanus and Nefashos, if not for this halacha, that Shaharei, and so on. That's one suggestion. Again, it's still interesting to note that the Rambam, even though he thinks it's Ki'isa, doesn't think you have to. When somebody says to you, the Rambam of Halacha Gimel in Perek Ches says, if somebody says to you, explain to me why you're paskening the way you're paskening. So if it's l'schus or l'chova, you have to answer that, right? That's, where is it? Perek Ches, Halacha Gimel. Kol mi shomar eini yodea eino tzorech l'aseis tam l'dvara, v'lo di'a meizetam v'lo hafsafek. K'derech shemara mezakem, meizetam, zakem, v'machayim, meizetam, mechayim. Okay, but that doesn't mean it's not ki'isa. What it means is that if you're taking a decisive stand, we force you to explain. And if you're taking any idea, so we don't need your explanation, or it's not going to illuminate, or whatever. Fine. We could have argued. Again, there's no source for that either, by the way. That's also a Kiddush of the Rambam. One could have said, the Dayan is Ki'isa, but the Psak is Kalesa. That's another way to look at it. But anyways, I think that's possible too. I think there's another pshat, and that's what I said last week as well. And that is, the Rambam just felt that although the evidence when it comes to Eini Yodea Kalesa is limited to Dine Nefashos, there's such a fundamental difference between Nefashos and Mamanus with regard to this issue, even though there isn't regarding the other issues, that is the global evidence that justifies this distinction. And that, based on the idea that we talked about before, And that is the following. That in Dine Mamanas, the focus is always on the Masa Matan. It's always on the theoretical discussion. The Psak is the concrete application of that theoretical discussion, but the theoretical discussion is the primary focus of Dine Mamanas. Because it's only just about money, it's reversible, even though there is a Nidon, a Tovena Nitva, really there are, on another level, two protagonists, and therefore it's not about anybody's fate in particular, it's really about applying the law, the concepts, properly. And from that point of view, Eni Odeya, why wouldn't it be Ki'isa? Especially if it's a hard Eni Odeya. However, when it comes to Dina Nefashos, as we've discussed many times, this is the Rav's idea, from the very beginning, even the theoretical parts are about the fate of this particular individual. His life is on the line. There's no such thing as an abstract Beis Medrash part or phase in this Din Torah. And as such, what's really happening is we're applying kind of the principles of the Gemar Din, you know, which has to be hachra'ati, has to be decisive, already at the time of the Maso Mata. So the fact that some, you know, you have you're a good devil's advocate, you can argue both sides of the case, in the end of the day, in terms of this person's fate, all that is irrelevant. In a Beis Medrash, it's great. We care about Beis Shammai and the Beis Medrash too. Right? But in the Din, in Psak Din, when it comes to this Gabra, Eni Odeya is going to be Kaman D'Leis. That's the other idea to answer the Rajva. Meaning, what that whole list is about, why are there these differences between Mamanus and Nefashos? The answer is because it's not just that we're being machmir in a way that highlights our cognizance and our sensitivity to the fact that at every phase of this din, it's about the Nidon and his faith being on the line. Yeah.
I just in Mamanus also there's sometimes an issue of the actual Masa Matan. If the Malva says he lent money, and the Lova says Lohadan,
yeah,
and they're aiding,
yeah,
and there's a dispute whether the judges trust the aid or not. It's not a conceptual, you know, deal whether is this sufficient.
Well, it depends, right? There are all sorts of cases, but we're extrapolating from the in the row of cases. This is not very straightforward cases, many times. In the straightforward cases, you don't usually have, you know, a diet
to
say
any
other day.
Well,
usually, I mean, there are Cheskas Kashrus rules. There is a din of din maruma, you know, that if judges, you know, suspect that, you know, that they're being gamed, you know, and so on, that they can put, you know, set aside edus. But typically, if you have straightforward edus and people have Cheskas Kashrus and there's no, you know, a sense that something is amiss, then you're not going to have disputes between Dayanim, but there could always be usually a debate, often a debate will come about, based on halacha.
Between Adam and a Dayan, an aid could be subject to the death penalty of Zonim.
Okay.
A Dayan is not. You know, there's...
And therefore,
in other words, maybe somebody doesn't want to give aidus because he doesn't put himself in jeopardy.
You're talking about the Eni Odeya aid case? Yeah, but remember, there's a chiyuv.
If he were to say chiyuv, whatever the case,
there's a chiyuv to give aidus.
Okay, but yeah, maybe two witnesses would come and say,
understand. You have to give aidus the honest aidus. There's no chiyuv to give false aidus. There's an issur to give false aidus, and there's a chiyuv when you are an aid to step forward. Behu'aid, right? Behu'aid. Well, actually, it's coming up, right? This week's parsha, v'hu'eid or ro'ayada, right? Im lo yagid v'nasa avono. That's this week's parsha. So, we're in Vayikra already. Nice. Okay. So, that would take. I didn't realize. So, next week we'll start with. This is an important theme, so I'm glad we at least were able to do it. Next week we'll start with the Gemara on Hey Amud Aleph to Hey Amud Beis. I want to do the discussion of. Rishus Miresh Galusa Minanasi and Rishus Meirabo, which some people think is, I guess, the basis of modern smicha. So we'll talk about something that we got talked about at the beginning of the year, but we'll revisit it in a different, little bit of a different way. What is the relationship between classical smicha, the tilas rishus mireish galusa, and the tilas rishus meirah? That's our next topic. And then after that, we'll do pshara.